I've entitled this sermon this morning, How Long? And I'm going to read from Psalm 13, if you want to turn there. Charles Spurgeon described this psalm as the howling psalm, because there's four times it says, How long? Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. In this life, all of us face many types of struggles. And we often have what feels like a constant barrage of battles and warfare going on in our lives as a Christian, and troubles, and it sometimes feels like a constant battle to overcome, a constant battle to keep a right perspective and a right heart before God. And in this psalm here, we hear David crying out to the Lord. Some say this was written when Absalom, his son, conspired against him, but Charles Spurgeon disagreed. He said he asserted that any attempt to try and tie it to a specific incident in David's life is just conjecture, because David had many enemies and many incidents in his life that could have led to the writing of this psalm. And of course, the biggest enemy he had was Saul. And David was being pursued by Saul, who was the king of Israel. And Saul was pursuing David, as we know, even though he'd done nothing wrong. Saul was doing this because he saw David as a threat to him and to his kinghood. And he was jealous of David because David was the man, wasn't he, who defeated Goliath, when it should really have been Saul that had done that. When Goliath used to come out day after day taunting Israel, saying, send me a man to fight me. Where was Saul? Saul was with Israel, afraid at the giant's taunts. But David had faith in God and he went out and killed Goliath by the grace of God in a miraculous way. This young lad, this young shepherd, had the courage to stand and trust in God. He didn't even kill him with a sword, but with a slingshot and five stones. And the stone embedded into Goliath's head, and he fell forward. And then David, of course, cut his head off. You know, David was a man of faith. And God used him mightily to fight the battles of the Lord. And Saul, if you remember, he was angry at David because the people started singing, Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And David was getting more glory than Saul was, an admiration from the people. And this was making Saul angry and jealous, and he began to resent and despise David and wanted to kill him. And as we know, Saul was already under God's judgment for not fully obeying the Lord. If you remember, and God had withdrawn his spirit from him, he had an evil spirit from the Lord, it said, that would torment him. And he would come upon Saul, and David would come and play music that would bring him relief. You know, David was nothing but good towards Saul, nothing but good towards Israel. And yet, Saul turned David into his enemy. And he was pursuing him to kill him. Can you imagine how that must have made him feel? To be pursued for something when you've actually done nothing wrong. To be hated for no cause. And David must have felt at times as though the Lord had forsaken him. And here in Psalm 13, he's reflecting on what that's making him feel like. He starts off with these words, How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? He was feeling like God had forgotten him. He was feeling that God wasn't with him. He'd been pursued by his enemy and he feels like, well, where's God in this? Why aren't you helping me, Lord? How long is this going to carry on for, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long are you going to hide your face from me? There's times in our lives when we feel like God's hidden his face from us, when everything seems to be going wrong against us, when people don't appreciate us or support us, or when we're misunderstood, when we're made to feel that we've done things wrong and we're accused falsely, when we're despised and we think, well, where's God in all of this? Why is God allowing this to happen to me? And we ask that question, how long, Lord? How long are you going to forget me? How long are you going to hide your face from me? I like David because he's honest. He expresses his true feelings. He wore his heart on his sleeve. He doesn't hide his feelings. He's not afraid to say how his situation is making him feel. He expresses his heart to God. He feels alone. Why is this happening to me, Lord? I've done nothing wrong. In verse 2 he says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? You know, there's times in our life when we get worn down when we're serving God. But we've had to stand up for doing what's right. And yet we're not thought any better for it. In fact, things often get worse for us. We're attacked and accused and opposed, and it brings us sorrow day after day in our heart. Where we've had to stand up for righteousness, and it hasn't been appreciated, it actually makes things worse. There's that song, isn't there? I'm a man of constant sorrow. Day after day, we can have sorrow in our heart. So much for the happy, smiley Christians. Wrestling with my thoughts, David says. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Have you ever wrestled with your thoughts? Questioning yourself. Have I done wrong? Should I have done this? Is it me? Wrestling with our thoughts continually. How long will my enemy triumph over me? It's like from David's perspective, he felt Saul was triumphing over him. He knew he'd done no wrong, and yet he was being pursued by his enemy. He's questioning God. And you know something, there's nothing wrong with questioning God. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. And a lot of the Psalms are like this, aren't they? David pouring out his heart to God. He said, my enemy's triumphant over me, Lord. I don't understand why. I know I'm innocent, Lord. I know I've done nothing wrong, Lord. And there's times in our lives, despite doing what's right, we get treated very badly. And it's in those times it feels like God has forgotten about us. Let me tell you something this morning. God doesn't forget anything that happens to us. It tells us in the scripture, he bottles up our tears. He remembers us. He doesn't forget us. We are the apple of his eye. We're engraved in the palm of his hand. God doesn't forget his people. But sometimes, when God's purposes are being worked out, as it happened to David here, we don't always see the big picture of what's happening, but God does. Sometimes it's in these times we have to learn patience. Everything looks like it's going wrong for us. Despite feeling like it's going wrong in our lives, despite us being misunderstood or mistreated, God has a purpose in it all. He knows what he's doing, and we have to trust him. You know, we have a saviour who endured hostility against himself. Hebrews 12:3 says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. David cried, how long will my enemy triumph over me? He's asking that question. How long is this going to go on for? The time when we go through trials, we can think the same. How long is this going on for? It feels like it's been forever, Lord. And in verse 3 he says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. He's desperate. He's saying, come on, Lord, look on me. Answer. And have you ever felt like that in your prayers? Come on, Lord, answer. Give light to my eyes. In other words, let me see what's really going on here, Lord. Let me get the right perspective. I feel like I'm in darkness. I'm worn out with it all. I feel like a blind man. I feel like I'm being kept in the dark, Lord. I feel like you've forgotten me. Give light to my eyes so I can see what's really going on. Or I will sleep in death. He's saying, this is killing me, Lord. this situation. I'm getting defeated here in my mind and heart. My enemy's going to say, I've prevailed against him. My foes will rejoice when I fall. They're going to rejoice over me if it carries on like this. They'll see that they've defeated me. Please answer, Lord. Look on me. Give light to my eyes so I can see. You see, we don't always know what purpose God has in what we go through, do we? Quite often, though, we can look back in the past and we can see how God's worked things out in the past. We can see from past experience how God has vindicated us, and in past how he's used us, and that we've been part of a bigger plan, because that's what God does. And we don't always see it when we're in the midst of it, but often looking back we do see it. And you know what? God doesn't forget our sufferings. He's going to give us a crown of righteousness one day. He's going to reward those that diligently seek him. But do we believe that today? That God rewards those that diligently seek him? In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, the chapter on faith, it speaks about those who suffered terrible things, sawn in two, tortured. They didn't see a reward in this life. But that doesn't mean that they don't get a reward, does it? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. God's rewards are coming to those who endure, to those who don't grow weary and are faithful. And we need to trust and believe that, because God's heart towards us is only good. God's heart towards us. It says in the Bible, who can separate us from the love of God? Romans 8, 33 to 39 says this. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God's love. We are more than conquerors, aren't we, through Christ, it tells us in Scripture. Neither death nor sword nor famine nor nakedness nor peril nor sword can separate us from God's love. This is our confidence that we should have as we walk through the wilderness of this world. And no matter what we go through, no matter what sufferings we have to endure, no matter what hardships we face, what trials we have to persevere with, or any pain we have to suffer, it can't separate us from God's love. No angels, it says, no principalities, no powers of darkness, no life, no death. Nothing can separate us. God is faithful to his promises. And he'll reward those who diligently seek him. But in the meantime, in this life, there's going to be sufferings. There's going to be trials. There's going to be testings and hardships and sufferings and times of lack, times of persecution, times of mistreatment, times when our enemies, just like David was pursued, are going to pursue us. Hopefully not trying to kill us. But, you know, we're often like David, though, aren't we? And we go, how long, Lord? How long is this going to go on for? That's how we can feel. How long, how much more can we endure? Well, it can last for the whole of this life. It could go on for the rest of this life. There's always going to be something, isn't there, that we have to contend with in this life. But we're not alone. We have a God who cares. Nothing can separate us from his love. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. He doesn't promise us an easy ride this morning. It says in the scriptures, in this life you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because he's overcome the world. The Lord is with us in our difficulties and trials. And that's the key in all of this. We're not alone. The battle belongs to the Lord, as we often sing. You know, one of the attacks that the enemy brings against God's people in the last days is that he'll try to wear out the saints of the Most High God. Our enemies are not flesh and blood. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We're involved as believers in the spiritual battle, aren't we? And we are being pursued by an enemy, a spiritual enemy, actively pursuing you and me, and he'll do everything in his power to bring us misery and destruction in our lives. And he'll use people to oppose us and accuse us. He'll use other human agencies to assault us and attack us. Satan uses people. He'll use circumstances. Look at Job. Look at what he had to endure and suffer. He was covered in boils from head to toe. His children were all killed in a calamity. His wife was telling him to curse God. His friends forsook him. He was a man of constant sorrow, wasn't he? But he refused to curse God. He didn't understand why he was suffering. I'm sure he probably asked God the same question. How long, Lord, is this going to go on for? We've all heard about the patience of Job. But Job trusted God. Job 1:21 says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Job 7:3 says, "So I have been allotted months of futility, and troubled nights have been assigned to me." And yet, he said in Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." You know, and it's the same for you and I. Whatever we go through, we have to trust God. We have to trust that the Lord will accomplish what his purpose for our lives, that he'll complete the work he's begun in us. You know, there's times when things do go wrong in our lives. There's times when it feels that God is far, far away, that he's forgotten us, that we're alone in this world. But we're not. Jesus said he's always with us, even to the end of the age. He'll never, never forsake us, never, never leave us. He says in the Bible, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He said, "Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And that's because we're yoked together with him. And a yoke was what they used to use to tie cattle together when they were ploughing the fields. We're yoked with Christ. He's the one doing all the heavy lifting. We're just following. We're just going along with him. He does all the work. His yoke is easy, it says. His burden is light. He said he'd never forsake us or leave us. Proverbs 3, 5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." His word directs our paths. His spirit leads us. He is the cloud by day and the fire by night. He's the lamp that lights our feet. You know, we don't always know where we're going. We don't always see the big picture. And sometimes it feels that God's not there, but he is there. And we have to get that perspective. And you know, David found that perspective again. If you read verse 5, he says, "But," and this is a good but, he's saying, "I'm going through all this worry. I'm wrestling with my thoughts. My heart is filled with sorrow day after day. It feels like my enemy's triumphant. It feels like the Lord's forgotten me. It feels like I can't see where I'm going or what's going on. It feels like I'm about to fall. I'm on the verge of collapse." But then he says, "But," and this is where he makes a choice. He says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation." Two things here. He's trusting and he's choosing to trust that God's love is not going to fail. To trust that God is not going to forsake him, that God's not going to leave him. Actually, that God hasn't forgotten him. That God is a God of unfailing love. And that's the truth, isn't it? God's love doesn't fail. God's love endures forever. And that makes his heart, as he says in verse 5, "My heart rejoices in your salvation." He rejoices because of this knowledge. Despite all that's going on and all this turmoil, he can still find in his heart that he can rejoice in God's salvation. He knows God saved him. He knows God's there. He knows God's not going to fail him. He knows that God's going to vindicate him. He rejoices in his salvation. Verse 6, he says, I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. And have you noticed he says, he has been good to me. He's remembering the times past here. He's remembering that God has been good to him. And you know what? When we're in the midst of a trial, when we're in that situation, when we feel the way David feels, we need to look back. We need to remember where God's been good to us in times past. We need to recall and remember all of his past provision, his past blessings, his mercy, his grace that's been poured upon us. We can look back on it and we can remember it, that God's been good to us. Psalm 119 and verse 52 says, I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Remember the goodness of God, then we can sing the Lord's praise. And why can we do that? Because he has been good to us. We've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Yes. That's an anchor point that we can always hold on to. And we need anchor points, don't we? And there's been times in my life, and I'm sure in yours also, when we've been struggling in our minds and hearts, and we've had to go back to previous anchor points in our life, where God's spoken to us, where God's made promises to us, where we remember his faithfulness in times past, and that will help us to have faith going forwards. Because if God's been good to us in the past, you know, when we've been through difficulties, we know he's an unfailing God. He doesn't fail. His love is unfailing, and what he's done in the past, he can do in the future. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll complete the work he's begun in us. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us before his throne of grace. Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. He's able to deliver us from the mouth of the lion, just like he delivered Daniel from the mouth of the lion. And if our enemies come against us, you know what? God can deliver us. In that fiery furnace, there was one who stood next to Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, wasn't there? He looked like the Son of God. And they didn't even get singed or get burned because he stood with them. They weren't alone in the fiery furnace. And you're not alone in the fiery furnace. When the devil throws you into that fiery furnace, you're not alone. The Son of God stands by you, and he will stop you from being burned and singed. He'll deliver you from the lion's den. He'll save you from your enemies. He'll free you from the prison. That's the God we serve. He's a God whose love doesn't fail. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never fails. Nothing can separate us from God's love, can it? And that's the good news. You know, he's always there. We can't flee from his presence, can we? No. Psalm 139, 5 to 10. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. It says in the psalm, even if we go down into hell, he's there. God has not forgotten about you this morning. You know, his people are the apple of his eye. And he also remembers that we are but dust. He knows our weakness, and he restores our soul, and he gives strength to the weak. You know, there's times when we can feel like we're crumbling. There's times when we're on the verge of death, that we're on the verge of being overcome. But you know what? God restores our soul. He gives strength to the weary, power to the weak, because that's the God we serve. And we need to put our trust in the Lord, no matter how hard things are looking, how dark the world is out there, or how much we feel that God's forgotten about us. You know, we go through times when we feel like David felt. He was being pursued by Saul. He felt God had forgotten him. He wasn't afraid to say that to God. And we should never be afraid to cry out to God what we're feeling. In fact, our emotions and fears should drive us back to a place of faith. Saying to God, you know what? I feel like this, Lord, but I know your love's unfailing. I'm going to rejoice in your salvation. I'm going to trust in you. It says in the scripture, he who endures till the end will be saved. God's going to save us, but we do have to endure till the end. And when we say, how long, Lord? You know, the answer to that is we don't know. God's timing on things isn't always our timing. It could be until the end. In fact, there's always going to be tribulation in this life. That's how long. But if we endure till the end, we will be saved, we will be rescued, we will be delivered. And we can rejoice in the mercy and salvation of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray this morning.